You're listening to the Flip Empire Show with Alex Pardo, episode 88.
Welcome to the Flip Empire Show, bringing you the interviews, strategies, and insights for smart real estate investors. Prepare to dive into the minds of real estate's heavy hitters and gain the cutting-edge expertise you need to scale and grow your real estate empire. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
Hey, what's going on there? It is a great day. Hope you're crushing it with whatever you're doing. I'm excited to bring you part two of the masterclass with Peter Akar on turnkey investing. And if you haven't listened to part one, which was the last masterclass we released, make sure you check it out. We do a deep dive into turnkey real estate. You know, Peter's somebody who hooked up with Mark Evans about 7 years ago, co-founded American Wealth Builders, and now they're a turnkey operator, one of the largest in the country, doing about 30 to 50 acquisitions a month. And in part one, we talked about the active side of the business, right? So what does it look like if you want to build a turnkey operation? But really, the one that I've been looking forward to releasing and getting into your ears is this part, part two, where it's all about passive income, right? It's how do you build that passive income through turnkey investing without having to place tenants, manage the property, find the deals, or any of that. Without further ado, I'm excited to just hop right into it here. Hey, what's going on, my friends? Alex Pardo here with part two with my friend Peter Akar on, you know, if you listen to part one, first of all, if you haven't listened to part one, I definitely want to encourage you, go back and listen to it. We talked about, you know, what it means to build a successful turnkey operation. And then the conversation segued into probably one of the most important things that you need to nail down, not only as an entrepreneur, but as a person. And that's all about goal setting, having the vision, and how to leverage that to create the kind of life and business that you want. So definitely check out part one if you haven't already. But if you have, I think this episode is going to provide a lot of context for you and really open your eyes to some opportunities that you may not have even known are out there for you. We're really going to talk about what it means to be a passive investor and how, you know, if you have some capital, how you can put that money to work so that your money grows while you sleep. Right? A lot of us are wholesalers. A lot of us fix and flip properties. And it's a very transactional business. You know, we go out there, we find deals, we close, we sell, we get paid. But then the money stops, right? It's not a way to build true wealth. And that's probably one of the things that Peter's going to cover here is, you know, how do we start to generate residual income through turnkey investing? So, Peter, man, having said that, it's fantastic to have you on for part two here, man.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here. And this is, you know, I was excited for part one. This is really even more exciting for me because this is my baby. You know, this operation that we're going to talk about, all the reasons why we created it, the reasons we've, you know, made adjustments along the way. It's all what I've been, you know, focused on for the last 3-4 years and just really getting systematized. And, you know, I think what you guys are going to see here is there's a lot more in the world of real estate investing than you're thinking of, and it's going to help kind of keep you from getting skewed. The issue on the fix and flip side and the wholesale side is most people look at their bottom line numbers and they never factor in their time component. Think about that as a fix and flipper. So if you're a fix and flipper sitting here listening to this, think about last year and how much money you made flipping properties, and then break that down into a weekly number and look at how many hours you spend a week to generate that income. What most fix and flippers end up realizing is their hourly rate that they're getting paid is very, very small. Very, very small. I mean, I've talked to some that are $4 to $6 an hour, right? Wow. When you break down to it.
That's painful.
It's painful. Now, you know, some of that, you're growing a business, right? So some of that is sweat equity that's going into your business. But you have to be careful in the way you look at it because it's like you just said, right? In fix and flips, most fix and flippers are great at generating cash on a transactional basis, but it stops there. So if you stop doing deals, you stop making money.
Yeah.
That's a job. That's not an investment.
That's right.
And that's
right.
Something that's very important to recognize and be real with yourself about. There's nothing wrong with doing it, knowing that. But if you're sitting there going, I'm a great real estate investor because I'm fix and flipping, but you're working 60 hours a week, You're not fix and flipping. You're working a full-time job.
Yeah. And it's not a sustainable business. That's right. And it's not a sustainable business. It really isn't.
Yeah. You know, and part of it too is, again, you know, there's, as you start to look at your investment opportunities across the board, here's where the real wealth gets created, the 1% in the way they operate. They're not beholden to one stream of income. So if you're in this world and you're running a business, you're on one stream of income, and that one stream of income is limited by you and your time and energy.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I get it, man. So let's do this, man. I mean, one of the, because there's so much I want to kind of throw at you, and this is actually an area that, you know, I'm taking notes on that I want to learn and get more exposed on. So, you know, if you're listening in, I'm sitting right next to you here, and I want to learn from Peter here. So there's a bunch of stuff I want to ask you, man. Why don't we start with, I know this is something we talked on and we touched on in part one, but what is turnkey investing exactly? What does that mean? And like, why is it so important to talk about it now?
Yeah, so turnkey, from a very simple approach, is everything's done for you. So there's no time and energy, or very little time and energy, required from your end. So if you are currently an active investor running, you know, running your own wholesale or fix and flip business, think about everything you do day to day and not having to do that while still profiting from it. That's essentially what turnkey does for you. What's nice about it at the higher level is, think about yourself as an individual investor, and you're out there doing what you do every single day. And now think about you being part of a larger system in turnkey where there are hundreds, if not thousands, of investors, and that much more volume and that many more properties and that many more opportunities.
Okay.
Everybody in the system benefits as a result of that. So that's why turnkey and a turnkey operator, the way we've been able to set up, is so powerful, because in the world of real estate investing, it's all about the deals and then the management of the deals. But first and foremost, the deals coming in. Who gets access to better deals? Somebody who's doing 30 to 50 acquisitions a month, or somebody who's buying 5 a year?
Somebody who's doing 30 to 50.
Yeah, right. So there's a lot of efficiencies that come about when you start to kind of look at it that way. And the more important message here for I think your listener base is, how do I take my time and energy and multiply what I'm making per hour? And it's the passive investing side, namely through turnkey, which we're talking about, that allows you to do that. And here's what's cool about it. As a real estate investor, we've talked a lot about, how can I provide the most value? How can I learn and grow and do all this? Turnkey investing as a real estate investor is just a smart add-on for you as an active investor, because it's still in your wheelhouse. You know, if something happened and you had to go deal with that property or sell that property, most of you are equipped to do that, right? So it's still in your expertise. It's still in your wheelhouse. It's a different version of what you're doing, essentially. Mm-hmm. Does it give you more knowledge and expertise? Absolutely. Does it make you a savvier investor because now you're diversified? Absolutely.
Yes.
So you can see how, like, you get this kind of double whammy here, especially if you're an active investor, where you can get the best of all worlds, and now your wealth strategy steps up to a whole different level.
I see that, man. It makes a lot of sense. And I know, you know, you're the co-founder and chief operating officer of American Wealth Builders, who, in my opinion, and I know quite a few turnkey operators, you guys are kind of, you know, like I mentioned in episode one, at the top of the pyramid there in terms of just being a full service company. How did you guys, I don't want to get into like how you guys started, because I know that's something we talked about, but what is it exactly that you do? Like, who's your typical client that you guys service?
Yeah, I mean, so our typical client kind of goes across the spectrum. But we created American Wealth Builders to serve really one level client. And that's the client who doesn't have 300,000 plus sitting to buy properties in most of these markets that people think of when they first think of real estate investing. So where, if you're a tech executive in San Francisco and you're making a bunch of money, $1.5 million, or you're a teacher in, let's say, somewhere in California who's making 50, 60 grand a year, it's a different access to what you can actually invest in traditionally.
Definitely.
What we looked at doing is, how do we take that away? How do we make the barrier to entry just disappear? And how do we make it accessible to every type of investor? So whether you only have 40K sitting in an IRA that you just don't know what to do with because the money manager is not really making you what you want to see, and you don't know what you don't know, or whether you have millions sitting, it's still a very powerful tool. And that's why we created AWB the way we did. So that no matter who you were, whether you're savvy or not, whether you're a newbie or whatever it is where you're coming from, you can take advantage of these opportunities and the system that lies under these opportunities to handle them, versus trying to take a risk and maybe go with somebody that, you know, puts you outside of your comfort zone a little bit more. Or what's even riskier is trying to go out there and do it on your own with no expertise, no knowledge, and frankly, no time to do it.
Yeah. And that's the thing, man. I mean, I know myself, you know, like, you know, my business, and we're wholesalers. And I know that, you know, some of our clients, we sell these properties to, and they, first of all, I think there's a misconception, before I even get to that point, I think there's a misconception that people think that to invest in real estate, they need hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars. And I think, you know, that's one of the great, unique selling propositions that AWB has is that, no, you don't. You don't need hundreds of thousands of dollars. And that's, you just alluded to it. That's the reason that you guys started this business, right? Mm-hmm. But, you know, yeah. I sell properties to people that they use their last bit of money in their account to buy properties, and then they create another job for themselves, having to fix up the property, having to try to sell it or rent it, and then manage the property. And there's, you know, again, it's almost like they're creating a whole new job for themselves. And with what you guys do, this is completely hands off for your client, right?
Yeah, and you know, it's funny that point you just mentioned, because this actually just happened to me a couple weeks ago. I was out for a walk, walking around the neighborhood, and I see this guy standing in front of this, you know, half rehabbed house, windows out, you know, obviously going through a flip. And I see him standing out there next to his Mercedes, and he's just, you know, hands in the air, hands on his hips, frustrated. You could just see the pain coming from him, right? And I have to chuckle. And, you know, it's not at his expense. I'm chuckling because I'm like, this is the same story I see all the time. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And I stopped to talk to him for a minute, and I said, you a little frustrated today? He said, I don't know why I ever started this. I don't know why I ever started this. And here's the thing that would have changed for him. And this is an important point that I'll refer back to the first episode as well. As you're getting into those deals, consider your profit goals and all that and what you're trying to create, but don't forget about your time goals, man. I mean, if your goal is to spend as much time as possible with your children who are 2 and 3 years old, mm-hmm. and then you're going out and buying a fix and flip deal where you're a one-man show, you have to do it all on your own, those goals are so far out of alignment in the actions you're taking, you're never going to be successful. Mm-hmm. And what's frustrating about it is this, man, in the world of real estate, no matter what space you're sitting in the world of real estate, it'll be frustrating enough as it is, right? In the world of investing, it's frustrating enough as it is. If you're in the stock market right now, you turn on CNBC in the morning, you will go crazy.
So right? True.
Yeah. You'll go absolutely insane. If you are on Twitter, you see tweets going back and forth, you'll go insane because you know how that affects your return. So why is it that everybody goes towards an investing methodology, an investment path that involves so many variables in the mix? And a lot of times it's variables that they don't have the capability to fill, instead of just keeping it simple. Like,
that's right.
It doesn't have to be that complicated. It can be, I'm just going to buy through somebody who's an expert at doing this so that I don't have to learn it, and I'm going to profit by not taking action. That does exist. It's real. And it's a way better path than trying to set yourself up for failure by relying 100% on you, while at the same time you have your full-time job and your family and your grandkids that are waiting, relying on you and your time.
Yeah. And you know what's crazy, Peter, man, is that, first of all, I completely agree with you, but the returns are, they're basically, I feel like they're in the same ballpark, because a lot of the clients that buy properties that they want to buy and hold, they're looking to get, you know, 10% return on their money, 12%. And I think with turnkey operators, I know with you guys, that's more than feasible, right? I mean, 10%, would you say that's about the average, more or less?
Yeah. So 99% of our sales are going to be in assets that are going to be from anywhere from 35 to 70,000, and they're going to cash flow net projection 10.5 to 12.5%.
There you go.
And that includes, and again, expertise from working with the right operator. That includes management fees, property taxes, insurance, and vacancy and maintenance allocations that you need to be factoring into what you're looking at for return. So that's a piece where, again, we have history with portfolios, we have history with performance. We're going off of real numbers and real history and real performance that allows us to kind of set those benchmarks. I mean, everybody kind of thinks that way, what you just said, right? Well, if I have to pay an expert to do it, if I have to pay an expert to do it, I'm going to lose on my return. Here's the flip side of that that I'm going to tell you. What happens if you're self-managing the property and you want to go on vacation for a month and something happens while you're sitting in Europe or sitting in Florida or wherever it may be?
You're shit out of luck.
What happens to your return then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
So everybody's so afraid to give up return, but they're willing to give up their time. It's so backwards for the way things work. I don't know about you guys, but my time is my most valuable asset because I know what my value is. I know what I can, what I'm capable of with that time.
Brother,
I'm not
trying
to give away my time for a little bit of money for a 1% difference in ROI.
Yeah, man. And that's the one thing you can't get back, right? I mean, money can be, you're going to make money and maybe lose money, but time, once it's gone, right? You only get 24 in a day.
And that's ultimately the cornerstone of what we created and why we created it, to take all of that out of the mix. Let our teams do what they do every day. Our deal coordinator, if she has to deal with a self-directed IRA company, she already knows exactly what she has to do. If you've never done that before, you're going to spend 2-3 hours trying to figure out just what paperwork you need and who you need to contact and how that deal needs to flow. Why are you constantly trying to recreate the wheel? It's just so unnecessary, and everybody puts so much pressure on themselves. And I tell you, I see it every single day where we constantly have clients who come back around again, and they're like, well, I had that fix and flip, or I had this other investment, I cashed out of it, it was terrible, I need to buy more through you guys so I can make up for those losses.
Yeah, got it. So, man, I think, you know, we've driven home the point, at least I hope we have, that the benefits of turnkey investing and working with, you know, a company like American Wealth Builders. Let's specifically talk, because I know you guys, like I said, are a full service company that you basically handle it all. Why, and I think you touched on it, maybe this is the answer, let me know if there's anything else, but is the main reason you guys are able to get such great deals is because you're operating at such high efficiencies and you're doing so much volume? Like, how is it that you guys are able to get, you know, better deals than almost everybody else out there?
Yeah, I mean, it's basically that. It's because we're doing this every day. I mean, in the world of investing, in the world of real estate investing especially, it's all about being active every single day and entrenched in it. And that's what really gives us, you know, opportunities that come to us that don't go to anybody else. Deals that we're able, because we know how to have the right conversations, we're able to negotiate the right deal with the seller, because that seller is basing their knowledge off of, you know, the one property they own. We're basing it off of the thousands. You know, the thousands that we've looked at, the tens of thousands at this point that we've inspected, they've gone through our process. So there's a lot of data and knowledge that comes out of that that ultimately allows us to move quicker. And to me, that's the key in real estate investing. The quicker you can, really investing as a whole, the quicker you can move on opportunities with confidence, the more effective of an investor you're going to be, because you can do what the majority of investors can't.
Yeah.
Most people will get stuck in analysis paralysis because they don't know their goals. They don't know how they have to achieve them. They don't know their strengths. We know all that. We're a company doing this every single day. I know that when my acquisitions team passes up a property, that it's already gone through 15 steps before I even look at it. Yeah. I know that for it to even come in front of me as the real estate investor who's deciding inside this company what we're acquiring, I know that there's certain things that I just don't even have to think about in that asset, so I can look at it and make a decision in about 5 minutes.
And by the way, that's right. And by the way, I've seen that firsthand, like getting a sneak peek at your CRM and like just to see how everything functions and flows. I've seen like your systems and your checklist and what all the different like QC, right? The quality control points that have to get met before a deal just gets to you and gets finalized.
Yeah. And again, you know, it's variables in a deal. There's a lot of different variables. You're dealing with everything, you know, everything that you normally would on a property, plus a tenant situation, plus the city, which could be different, plus your management team. I mean, there's so much involved there. How do you just cut the question marks out? And that's really the way our acquisitions process is designed. And the way I like to describe it is, we are real estate investors first and foremost. So every asset that we purchase, we're buying as our criteria as investors. The criteria that has allowed us to get to this point, criteria that we've been implementing and refining for 20 years. So there's a very serious methodology behind it that drives everything. I like to describe it as a Chinese wall that sits there between acquisitions and sales. So everything we acquire is about us first and foremost as investors. From there, what we sell depends on the needs of the market, the needs of our investors, the needs of our clients that we're dealing with.
Got it. So what I want to do now is, you know, somebody might be listening and they might say, you know, how do I get into this, right? How do I put my money to work? How do I start generating that passive income that makes me money while I'm sleeping, that I don't have to necessarily go out and work for? I have several questions I want to toss your way if it's cool with you, Peter, but does your typical customer, is it somebody that has money in a bank account, has money in a self-directed IRA, and it's just sitting there, you know, they're basically losing money by not investing it? Is that your typical client? Like, how does somebody know, somebody's listening, how do they know if they're the right fit to potentially invest with AWB?
Sure. So a couple things right off the bat that you kind of have to get comfortable with. One, if you're currently an active investor, it's going to be a little bit different experience with you. And I say this as a broader point, that if you decide to involve some of your activity in the passive side, so some of your investments in the passive side, you have to be willing to allow those experts to do what they do every single day. You cannot play this game where you want to have your toe in, bring your toe out, you know, kind of going back and forth, trying to tell property managers what to do. Now, obviously, it's your asset. You can do what you want with it, but you have to get comfortable with letting the system work itself. Because the second you try and mess with that, you mess with the whole system. So that's first and foremost.
Okay.
Two, you got to get comfortable, and this is a comfort zone issue for a lot of people. You have to get comfortable investing outside of what you have determined is your market. Mm. So for most people, that's going to be your backyard because that's where they feel comfortable, right? But what you need to do really is take a step back and get into mindset and really start to think, you know, does it benefit me any really for it to be in my backyard versus 1,000 miles away? Or, you know, why wouldn't I want to do that 1,000 miles away? What are the pieces that have to happen for you to be comfortable with that? It's a hurdle I see a lot. And where people are missing the ball in that is if you're in a lot of these high flying fix and flip markets, you're also, your expenses are higher, your living expenses are higher. It's just more expensive to live in those markets than in the middle of Ohio, for example. Mm-hmm. Right? So you have to get comfortable in what I like to call currency manipulation. So here's what I mean by that. If you're a tech executive in San Francisco making $1.5 million a year and you want to invest in real estate, if you're limited to your backyard, you're not going to be able to go very far in what you can invest in, right?
That's right. Yep.
Because we know how expensive that market is and we know the returns aren't really as a percentage are not that great. Really not that great, right? Mm-hmm. So you limit your belief and your opportunity by doing that instead of realizing that the $800,000 or so it could cost you to buy a rental property in San Francisco, you can go buy 20 in Ohio.
Wow.
So when you think about that from an inspector, from a investor's perspective, right, where are you better protected and hedged? In one property with $800,000 sunk into it that's going to cash flow maybe 4% for you, or in 20 properties that are going to cash flow above 10% for you, and you have, you know, some risk protection there if tenants move out or if you have downtime.
Yeah, it's a no-brainer, right?
So that's a really important piece to it. And then in terms of the money and what you said, there is a part of that with us is cash buyers, right? So we're cash buyers in everything we do. It's how you're most effective. It's how you can get the best deals and move the quickest. That cash can come in a lot of different forms. It could be 401k. It could be IRA, Roth IRA, traditional IRA. You can actually buy real estate with your HSA account as well in a self-directed environment. So that's really where we look to provide value at the higher level is if you're sitting there saying, okay, I want to get into turnkey. I have some cash to be able to do it, but I also have retirement accounts. I don't even know that I can use those or what you're capable of. That's a conversation we definitely want to have too. We work with the largest self-directed companies in the country and some of the leading experts in that space. And I'm telling you, man, I've been doing this for a while now, and every time I have those conversations, I learn some other little tool that you can use to kind of, you know, maybe push off some taxes to later on in your life, implement your investment strategy at a higher level, get it working quicker for you by taking those reinvested earnings. There's so many strategies in there that work for you on a higher level.
Yeah.
And really, it's been this. People don't know about it because the largest institutions that have controlled this world forever don't want you to know about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They don't want you to know that you could put your money in an account that you can control because they don't make money if you're controlling your money, right? So you have to start to get comfortable with that as well, that maybe the way you've been doing things, besides the ROI, which is a very simple, you know, metric to look at that as, but maybe the way you've been doing things isn't the best way for you because there's 10 things that you don't even know and nobody's talking to you about.
Yeah.
So I think there's a really cool opportunity. Most of our clients get some retirement funds working for them. That's one of the best environments there is. I would say for your listeners as well, I know there's a lot of small business owners out there. The solo K and the 401k angle is so enormous for what you can do as a small business owner. Even if it's just you on your own or you and your wife running an operation, something like that. There's a lot of power in that I would love to have a deeper conversation on. I mean, we could do a whole episode just on that. But basically, your 401k is one of the greatest tools you have, if you can get that set up right, to be able to put some money in a tax-free environment, use it in your business, and really start to invest it at a higher level. And it's just, it's unbelievable. So,
and that's the thing, Peter. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, dude, but I feel like one of the one of the biggest barriers to entry, and you know, I'm not, again, just let me know if I'm wrong here, if I'm misspeaking here, but I feel like one of the biggest barriers to entry is just the lack of knowledge of people out there that have, they're sitting on money, but they don't know that they can leverage all these tools or resources or platforms. You know, they don't know they can invest within their self-directed IRA. And I think part of the value proposition that you guys is that you educate them that depending on their goals, depending on what they want to accomplish with this money is, you know, you educate them on the process and how you guys go about placing that money into one of these assets. Is that right?
Yeah. So what we've kind of taken a step back over the last probably about 12 months and looked at is, as real estate investors personally, we're doing a lot of different types of investing. We're both passive and active internally with this massive operation, right? We have development deals that we do where can I go manage that deal and deal with the builders and all that? Absolutely. I have the expertise for it. I don't have the time for it. So I'm not trying to do that. I'm trying to put that money into play and let that be passive for me. Those all come about because we're in a world where we know our space, we know the opportunities, we just know a lot. That's where really the gap happens with most people. So you don't know what you don't know. Nothing to be blamed about it. You just don't know any better. Part of that is the way historically these financial tools have run, controlled by big organizations that just try and, you know, keep them internally. Part of it is maybe you're not spending time trying to learn those things because you don't even think you need to, right? That's back to a goals issue. But ultimately for us with American Wealth Builders, we kind of have an underlying principle that goes across everything we do. And it's this: we're not here to just sell you a property. If I was just here to sell you a property, trust me, I would go wholesale all day long, make more money, have less headache. That's not why we're here. We're here to create wealth with you. And that comes in a little bit different fashion. So that comes in focusing on your goals first and foremost, looking at whether it's turnkey or some other variations of turnkey investing, looking at whether those tools make sense for you on a higher level or not. The only way you're able to have those conversations is if you're hooked up with a people or a team of people who do that every day and know what's out there. There's people listening right now who go, I don't even know what a 401k is, right? Well, here's what's interesting. I actually just recorded a podcast on this. CNBC did an article the other day about it, about retirement and how most people have no idea. 41% of Americans don't know the difference between a 401k and an IRA.
Wow.
Right? For many of you, it may not matter, but if you have a 401k or an IRA, or you're looking to set one up, you should learn a little bit about that. Figure out what the best structure is. You don't even have to be an expert. Just make sure you're going to the right people.
Yep, I got it.
The industry, and here's what's amazing about it. What the industry tells you is, well, if you don't have a goal, which most people don't, just figure that if you make 80% of what you're making today, you're going to have a great retirement. And so here's the amazing part of what happens out there. Where most people are following, the people that are supposed to be the experts and know the most, that everybody just blindly follows, think about the way they're steering you compared to where you want to set your goals. I don't know about you guys, but I'm not trying to make less money than I make today when I retire.
Yeah, it makes no
sense.
Trying
to make more
money. Backwards thinking, of course.
Right?
Yeah.
So the goal, we keep talking about goals, but like look at the process and look at the people involved and how out of tune they are with what's actually happening. So you have to, this is, all this will classify on what we will call alternative investments, right? That used to be oil and gas. Now they're not even really that alternative anymore because they've been up and down the gambit. They've, you know, worked, not worked, and there's been so many people in them. But this alternative investment tag got put on it because it wasn't the traditional way. It wasn't stock market based, commodity based. It wasn't the biggest of big institutions handling it all. You have to start to learn about some of these pieces to really be effective as an investor. And I can tell you in real estate is one of the highest dragging industries out there. I mean, the MLS was created, what, in the 70s? And it's still the benchmark for what's used for retail sales today, right?
Yeah.
Real estate in general is so far behind the curve. And a lot of it is because for the majority of our history, the real estate was controlled by the banks, by the biggest banks out there. Now investors are starting to realize, wow, there's a lot more opportunities that the banks don't even want to get in. Our space that we operate in with our homes, banks don't want to write loans against them because they're not worth enough for them. They're not going to cash flow enough money for them if they have to go foreclose on them. So that's a great space. We're operating in a space where banks don't want to touch. They don't even give you access to that type of rental property because they don't know how to handle it.
Yeah. And you guys are purchasing in the Midwest, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, got it. Yeah. What types of properties, what types of neighborhood are these properties in? What types of properties are they?
Yeah, great. So our properties are pretty standard. You know, if you look at one property from us, there's pretty much three buckets that they fall in, and they're going to be more by price point than anything else. So our properties start at $35,000. Now, obviously, you're sitting here, you hear $35,000, depending on where you live. You're like, how could you possibly buy a house for $35,000? Again, get outside of your comfort zone. There's ways things work in this world that maybe you don't experience every single day. If you've never taken a trip overseas to a third world country, I highly recommend you do that so it refreshes your perspective.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, and anybody who's done that, well, their eyes just lit up and they're like, oh, my God, it's amazing. But you have to start to kind of step back and say, let me reframe what I think. Okay, if a $35,000 house, you think, oh my God, what could you possibly get for $35,000? But if I show you 5 years of history on a $35,000 house that cash flowed 12% a year, do you even care anymore?
No.
Well, if you're a savvy investor, you don't, right? Because get your eyes and your emotion out of it. Investment comes down to three things and three things only: cost, ROI, and exit strategy. And they all relate together, right? That's the way I like to easily break investment opportunities down. Now, your time factor has to be factored into your cost and your ROI, right? So you have upfront costs, ongoing costs, all these things. So start to look at it that way. Start to think about your time, your energy, what you're buying, what you're not buying, and stop making investment decisions on emotion. I don't care what the house looks like if it does not affect my exit strategy or my rentability.
Yeah,
I don't care because why should I? I'm an investor. I'm not here to care about the house. I'm here to make money, right? So this is the mindset you have to get in. And once you start to kind of step back and look at that, the world of opportunity looks a lot different for you. So now it's just a simple risk-reward calculation. So when we talk about neighborhoods and we talk about classes of properties, most investors out there know A class, B class, C class, anything less than C, you know, not a lot of people talk about. Your A class properties are going to be the nicest ones. You're going to feel good when you walk into an A class property and feel like you could live there and this is beautiful. And you're going to get the emotion behind it, but your pocket's not going to swell as much.
Yeah, they're going to cash flow lower. Yep.
Yeah. Right? Smallest returns. If you have a class A property that's cash flowing 6% for you, you are killing it in that world. Yep. Right. Most of the guys, and again, it's a skew of what we understand about real estate. Most people investing in Class A properties are doing it for capital protection. A lot of them are actually doing it so that they can post losses against their business for a certain period of time or against their other earnings. Right. So understand who's getting into what kind of class. B class is where there tends to be the best. B and C are where there's the best sweet spot of risk and reward. So C class, a little bit more volatile, but you can expect, you know, 12% plus returns there. We do a lot in C class neighborhoods. Now, let me define C class because this gets skewed a lot too. And this is a lesson to how we look at floating metrics and floating goals and, you know, all this stuff. I don't like to use descriptors that mean different things to every single person, right? So I get people who ask me, well, is this property in the hood? Well, what does hood mean to you? Right. If you grew up in Palm Beach, Florida, you're going to have a different view of hood than if you grew up in Compton.
That's an interesting point. It's so true. Yeah.
So you have to get outside of these wishy-washy words that mean something different to everybody and just get down to the real data behind it. So a Class C property for us, I'm not going to be afraid to walk around that neighborhood at night. That's what that means to us. So I'm not worried about getting shot. I'm not worried about my property managers going to collect rent and, you know, having to wear a bulletproof vest. So that is not the Class C that we're talking about here. So you have to kind of keep that frame of reference. These are going to be $600 to $800 a month rentals in the Midwest. They're going to be standard 2-1s and 3-1s, which is very standard in Ohio. They're going to be homes built pre-1950, but they're going to have gone through two or three cycles of rehab. So electrical upgrade, plumbing upgrades, roof, you know, all that stuff along the way has been upgraded. So they're up to a good standard today. And what I would remind people with the age of a house is don't let that automatically discount you in just right off the bat, right? If you're in Florida and you have to deal with hurricane-coded inspections, that can have an effect on you. But in Ohio, the age of the house, the standard age is, you know, they're built in the 1920s and 30s. So don't let that deter you. I like to look at it this way. If a house was built in 1920 and that house is still a sound structure today, that's a very good sign.
It's a great point, yeah.
Yep. Really. You know, so the bones are what's most important in that. So there's your Class C property, and I'll give you a frame of reference too. So a Class C property, $35,000 to $45,000 purchase price, and that's a straight cash price. That's no liens, no financing, just straight cash purchase. And those are going to cash flow, figure 11.5% to 12.5% for you.
Okay. Next.
a B-class property is going to go from 45 to about 60,000, and they're going to cash flow 10 to about 11.5% for you.
Okay. But damn, man, that's pretty good for a B-class property, 10 to 11.5%.
Yeah, that's really good for B-class. Now, for us, the majority of that type of B-class property comes out of Cleveland, and the reason being, they got hit hard with foreclosures, so there's some very high owner-occupant areas that now have a lot of rental conversion, okay. Which is a great point, actually. We haven't talked about this yet. This is one of my favorite stats that you have to really think about in the rental game. Over the last 10 years, we've seen a 30% increase in rental demand. Now, a lot of that we know, right? We know the millennials are coming in. They want to rent. They don't want to buy. We know, obviously, with the housing crash that happened, a lot of people were forced to become renters instead of homeowners. Take all that into account. Doesn't matter the reasoning. What matters is a 30% increase in demand. At that same time, there was only an 11% increase in supply. So almost a 3-to-1 ratio demand to supply.
Very interesting.
Think about how powerful that is in a market you want to operate in. So whether you're buying, selling, holding, whatever the case is, these are positive metrics for you moving forward. What's even more interesting, and this is where the foreclosure crisis in Cleveland gets highlighted at a higher level, that 11% for the first time in the history of the housing market in the U.S., the majority of that 11% increase in supply came from owner-occupant conversions instead of new apartment complexes.
Wow.
Think about that. Owner-occupant conversions filling the majority of a 3-to-1 demand ratio to supply, right? So that's a like triple whammy for what we do, because in Cleveland, these B-class areas, we're buying a lot in areas that were 85-90% owner-occ pre-crash, and now they're at about 65%. So while they're cash flowing at that 10% mark, there's also some future appreciation play in there. You're not going to bank on it. You're not going to guarantee that.
Right. It's like icing on the cake, right? Yeah.
But you're in an owner-occupant heavy area. That's a positive sign for the future. So there's, again, everything I just mentioned comes from us being in this every single day,
right?
And our expertise in analyzing markets and knowing when to step in and knowing when to get out and knowing how to manage it along the way. All those houses we just talked about that we're buying as owner-occ conversions, a lot of them are coming from short sales and foreclosures. Why? Because the banks don't know how to deal with that type of asset.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to deal with property management, and I don't blame them. I built 3 property management companies last year. It's the worst thing in the world to do.
Yeah.
It's the worst part of the game. You definitely want to hire that out. I can trust me on this. But that gives a really great opportunity to operate as investors in a world that people are afraid of because the banks won't get into it, instead of seeing the opportunity because the banks won't get into it.
And that makes a lot of sense, man. And speaking of, you kind of touched on it. One of the things I wanted to ask you, man, is if I'm listening to this and I'm interested in, you know, getting into these turnkey operations, these turnkey deals, what about property insurance? What about the you touched on property management? You know, do they have to be involved in that process at all? What about like placing tenants, replacing tenants if they leave, that kind of thing? How does that all work?
Yeah, so through our acquisitions process, we're integrated in with all our partners. Now, for you as a buyer, you can ultimately do whatever you want with the house, right? It's yours. There's no restrictions. We set it up so that you don't have to do anything. So we're going to align you with property management, and they're property management teams that we work with every single day. So part of our system, this is a key component, is I'm not trying to control the property managers. I'm trying to find expertise in property management so they can do what they have to every single day. But as a higher level piece of being integrated into our system, we're controlling some of the policies they put in place for the better, some of the cost components we're helping control through volume. And then really the biggest part of that is making sure that your property managers on the ground have an investor mindset, right? So there's so many property managers out there that they get a repair, they put it out, they just take the first bid they get it done because that's their business, just quickly getting stuff resolved and never stopping and going, okay, well, if I'm an investor and I see this cost, here's what I'm worried about. What else are we going to do as part of that strategy to put that house in a better situation? And that's a very key component with property management. And again, you know, like I said, you can do things a lot of different ways. What I always ask people to do is even if you've built the biggest property management company in the world, let the system work for you. Because if you built the biggest property management in the world in Los Angeles, you don't know Ohio. you may not even know that level of tenant because you're used to $1,500, $2,000 a month tenants versus a $650, $800 a month tenant. So again, these are things that you don't need to be worried about every single day. That's the point of passive investing. Let the experts who can strategize for that handle it every day along the way. And part of that system for us is we want to be able to step in and control on the property management level if we have to. So in Columbus, our property manager manages nothing but homes that we provided for our clients and for ourselves.
Okay, got it.
In Cleveland, we're about 80% of their total portfolio and growing. So that's a very important piece that I don't want to discount. You, when you have a problem with your property, if you are one owner of 1,000 with property management, you're very low on the totem pole. If you're involved in a situation like we have where we're integrated in with management, where we're their sole provider of business, if I make a phone call because there's a problem, I'm getting a very quick response.
Yeah, I see that. Peter, what just to kind of start to maybe wind this down a bit here, because I feel like we could talk about this forever, man. This is extremely like interesting to me. What are some common questions that, you know, your clients have that maybe we haven't covered or addressed here in the podcast? Maybe just one or two.
Sure.
And then what I'd like to do is, you know, give people a place where they can go. And if they're interested in investing some money and just having some passive income coming in, having you and your team basically manage the entire process, I'd love to give people some information about where they can go if they feel it's the right fit. If not, obviously that's perfectly fine as well. I just wanted to expose you guys to an opportunity that maybe, again, you didn't know was out there, where, you know, some people I think have the mindset that they feel like they have to spend all their money, all their savings, and then they have to be involved in management. They have to be involved in fixing, repairing, placing the tenants, you know, dealing with the leaky toilets, all that kind of stuff. And the truth of the matter is that you don't have to deal with any of that crap if you don't want to. So at the end, I'd like to give people an opportunity to connect with you, Peter, and your team to see if maybe it's a good fit. But yeah, man, any questions I haven't asked you that you think would be worth kind of highlighting here?
Yeah, so one question we get a lot in the process is regarding inspections. And it's a great question. You know, do I need to find an inspector? Do I need to do this? Do I need to do that? Are you there?
Yep, I'm here, man.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, my phone's kind of cutting out.
No, you're good.
So, you know, do I need to find my own inspector? How do I do that? Whatever. For our process, this is a piece that we built in there. And I'll say this about our process. People who have been through buying real estate before are a little bit thrown off by our process because of how easy we make it. There's reasoning behind all that. So inspections in general, here's kind of our methodology behind it. There are a lot of property inspection companies out there that claim to be, you know, licensed inspectors, professional inspectors, whatever the case is. Can you point me to one authority in this country that standardizes the inspection across every single city in the U.S.?
Not that I'm aware of.
Who is the licensing board that's licensing these inspectors?
Doesn't exist.
Nobody knows, right?
Yeah.
It's like it's all very vague. Here's what people forget on the inspection side. And again, you have to remember that real estate was controlled by the banks for the longest time. So property inspections are there really to protect the bank. They're not there to protect you as the buyer. They're there to make sure when the bank floats a loan for $300,000 and gets a $400,000 house, that there's no $50,000, $100,000 foundation issue that's going to pop up that's going to ruin their investment.
Yeah.
Right? Same thing with appraisers. It's a question that comes up a lot. So we take this approach with property inspection. Can we go hire a professional company to go do them at $300 an inspection the way you would a retail property? Sure. We've done that before. One, that's a ridiculous cost for a simple 31,000 square foot house in Ohio. There's not that much that requires that high level of inspection. Two, when you operate in multiple markets, it becomes very hard to standardize that, right? So when you're trying to make sure that as an investor, when you're buying a property, that there's nothing that's going to sneak up on you, trying to clear out as many variables as you can. What we found through the years, it was very hard working through these professional inspection companies because they'd be all over the place. You know, you get one inspector out with the same report as Inspector B, but you get a different set of eyes on the property. We tested all this out along the way. And what we did was we created our own inspection system that took all the benefits of that system and made it better for us as investors.
Okay.
So we custom tailored it. And what that does for us is I know that my inspection, my process, my report, everything about my inspection process, I know how many iterations that goes through every single week, every single year. I know the thousands and thousands and thousands of properties that have gone through that system. If I hire an outside inspector, a professional inspection company, I don't really know that, right? And here's the kicker. If that inspector misses something in your property, what can you do at that point? Nothing, right?
Nothing, right? You can't do anything, yeah.
It's all you. There's no way, there's no accountability there at all. In my system, if we miss something on inspection, that's a hard cost out of our bank account.
Okay.
There's no variable cost there. If they miss something, we have to correct it because we have a standard of asset that we carry across the board. So this is a very important piece of us. So what I tell people is this: if you want to run your inspection, fine. It's not going to get you any more than what our inspection process goes through. And our inspection process, we go through that. We've acquired thousands of units using that. I've only had one property ever have something that was a major cost pop up that we did not catch in the inspection. Ever.
Wow. One out of like what, the thousands you guys have done?
One out of, you know, call it 1,500. Wow. In the last 2 years. That's in the last 2 years. Just the 1,500.
Crazy.
So that's a pretty powerful statement. So I stand behind our inspection process, and we're also refining it along the way. You know, professional inspection company, you don't get to tell them, hey, I think you should look at this a little bit differently. With our inspectors, we control everything. So we have inspectors on staff, we'll call it. We pay them, so they're paid for every inspection the same way a company would. But that inspector is accountable to us. So if they miss something, we're not only debriefing, we're, you know, refining the process to make sure that it doesn't get missed. We're including property management. So here's another thing that's really interesting with this type of asset. If you send out a professional inspector out there, they're looking for, you know, all the stuff we know they're looking for, but they may not be looking at it from the property manager's eyes to know what rentability and what rehab is going to need to look like to get a tenant in there. Because that's just not how they're trained to look at things. Yeah. Our inspection teams are trained to look at that. They're integrated across everything. So if a property manager says, hey, there's three things that you guys didn't do in your scope of work that we need to be including for us to rent these up faster and at the rate you want, that goes all the way back to the beginning of our system and affects our inspection report so that we're catching it at the very first look we take at a property.
That's awesome. Yeah, no,
it's a feedback loop system that, you know, that's where my coding and my kind of tech background comes out. But every single thing like that feeds back into the process to where every single property that goes through a process makes the process that much stronger. And I think you'll see if you review one of our inspection reports or scope of work, I think you'll see that it's a very detailed look. You don't have to have a 40-page inspection document to get the information you need, just like you don't have to have a 40-page contract to buy a house.
Yeah, no, man. It's interesting you said that, man, because I don't know if you recall, man, but I think it was either you or Mark, somebody, you guys passed around like an actual inspection report. And yeah, it wasn't like this huge binder of papers, but man, it was pretty damn thorough that I remember I was sitting next to a couple guys and we're like, yeah, this is a really good inspection report.
Yeah, and you know, it's our asset. You know, am I sitting here saying, do we use that same inspection when we go into multifam complexes? No, because it's a different type of asset. But for what we're doing in Ohio, it's so cookie cutter at this point. I mean, honestly, I can go into one of these houses from my expertise and inspect it in 30 minutes or less because I know exactly what I need to look for. You know, a couple $100 fixes for us in our rehab process. I'm not worried about doorknobs, right? Mm-hmm. I'm worried about the big ticket items. I'm worried about the mechanicals. I'm worried about the roof. I'm worried about water intrusions. I'm worried about drainage. I'm worried about the things that can really cause major effects on your house. And from there, any of the cosmetic stuff, like you don't need a list of the cosmetic stuff. You need your property manager to go in and say, here's 15 things that you need to fix so that when a tenant walks in here, they're blown away and they automatically want to sign up at $950 a month, you know, before they go look at another property. That's what you're looking for. And that, again, comes down to knowing what your goals are in the property. Your property inspection on a retail side, there's so much emotion involved in there too, right? Because you're thinking about, well, I want to change the kitchen up or I want to do this. There's all these different variables. When it comes down to your investing, none of that matters. What matters is there anything that's going to pop up and cost me money down the road that I haven't thought about or taken into account? And is there anything I need to consider that has to happen with this property to get a tenant in place to get it income producing? That's all that really matters.
Yeah, understood. Dude, this has been awesome, man. I want to kind of, you know, put a bow on this entire thing here. So, Peter, let me know if I'm missing anything, but you know, if you're listening to this and you're intrigued by these possibilities, if you're somebody that, you know, you're worried about, you know, your retirement, you want to start building wealth now as opposed to later, you know, maybe you're a wholesaler, you're a fix and flip investor, or maybe you just have money sitting in an account, an IRA, a 401k, you're not putting it to work, and you see the possibilities here. I want to encourage you, reach out to Peter and his team, connect with them. We've set up a special link for you guys. And this is, again, there's no hard sale here. This is, if you're just interested, if you're curious about how this all works, and maybe you have some questions that I didn't ask Peter, I want to encourage you guys, go to flipempire.com/turnkey. flipempire.com/turnkey. There's going to be a simple web form there with just some basic questions. It'll take you less than a minute or so to get through it. And then Peter, I guess from there, man, if anybody's interested, what's the process? I guess they'll get the information, and then someone from your team will contact them.
Yeah, so that'll go right into my team. You'll get a call from them or an email to schedule a call. And really, the first call, what we're looking to do is just trying to figure out what you're trying to do. Why did you reach out? What's the gap? What's the need that we can help fill? And like I mentioned, we're not here just to sell you one-off properties. I'm trying to really understand our clients that we work with. What are they trying to achieve? Because that allows me to really target different opportunities as they come up and grow with people. We have investors that started buying single-family homes that now have portfolios of 30 of them. And what they did was they stopped buying those, and now they're buying bigger opportunities, bigger assets. Maybe they're into some money deals. So again, the opportunities kind of open up that way. What we're looking to do is really just get the relationship started. Let's talk about your goals. Let's talk about how we can help. And then ultimately, let's get through the first property so you understand our process, so you see what we go through, so you see how easy we really make it for you. Like I said, it's a little bit weird for people that have closed on a property before because we make it so simple. Clean net numbers, clean paperwork. It's just all very, very simple on your end. And again, that's about time and respecting your time and your profitability on that end as well. So let's have the conversation, just figure out whether we're a right fit, go through the process so you get to feel out how we do things, how our ground teams get to work, what they handle, how they handle it. That just gives you a little bit more comfort in it all. And then I think kind of once you go through that process, you realize either A, wow, I want to do a lot more of this instead of this other thing that I'm doing, or B, it's great and it works for me, but I'm going to use that as a side-by-side piece to really earning more money over here. Whatever the combination is for you, let the system work for you. It's just going to be an extra time component that's going to multiply your earnings throughout time. So, you mentioned it with the IRA accounts. If you have money in a if you have money in any kind of retirement account, whether it's self-directed or not, we need to be talking, because there may be opportunities for you even in your business if you're trying to be active to access some of that. And again, like Alex said, we're not here to sell you guys. I'm here to have a conversation. If we can help you, I want to help. If we can't, our team is going to be the first to say, listen, I appreciate the call, I appreciate your time, but we just cannot help you do what you're trying to do. There's nothing wrong with that. And I think that's one of the best things we have going for us, is I'm not going to be the guy who's going to sell you just to sell you. That's right. Huge for us. We're really trying to provide value here.
That's right. Fantastic, guys. Well, listen, Peter, man, really appreciate your time, man, and for sharing all this information, man. I think this is a topic that I've never covered before on the show. And it's something that, I know when we met a month and a half ago, I was like, man, I have to have you on, because I think there's a huge opportunity here that people don't even know is out there. So again, man, I really appreciate your time. I know, you're super busy. You guys are running a big operation out there. So again, I really appreciate it. And guys, if you have any questions, everything, I'm going to include Peter's information in the show notes page where you guys can reach out to him, especially if you heard part one and you're interested in on the active side. I think there's an opportunity for you to connect with Peter if you have any questions. And if you're interested on the passive side as well, again, go to flipempire.com/turnkey and just basic information there. Somebody for Peter's team will contact you. And then any questions you have about the process or how this all works, feel free to ask him at that point. And again, everything we've talked about is going to be in the show notes page. So again, I really appreciate you taking the time to listen to another masterclass here. And if you guys have any questions for me, again, I met with Peter and Mark, and I was in their office. I spent a couple of days out there. So if you guys have any questions about that, I'd be happy to connect with you and kind of share with you my thoughts and my overall experience. So Peter, man, I think that's pretty much it, dude. Do you have anything else, or are we good to go?
Yeah, no, I want to be the biggest resource for everybody possible. Obviously, I have a business running every day. But we do have a podcast show that I personally do every single week with tips and podcasts and all that. And it's all about turnkey investing. So for your active investors, probably not. That may not make as much sense, but if you have an interest in turnkey, I check that out. A lot of the same stuff we've been talking about here in terms of goal setting and really taking you down that path. But it gives you the opportunity right on our YouTube or right through our iTunes to actually comment, leave questions, and I'll get in front of the camera and answer those as well. So again, that's a tool that I've been using recently just to reach more people, be able to answer more questions for you guys versus, necessarily a phone call. But anything you have, just let us know. There's a lot of content there already. There's a lot of content that my team has and resources that we can point you towards, whether it's market analysis on markets we're in and how we choose those, all the way down to our process and the way it works. We're an open book. I'm here to share that with everybody. I'd love to have you guys reach out and really become clients with us and see the power of turnkey, because I think it's one of the best things out there. It's one of the best opportunities to leverage some experts and get your earning to a higher level. And really, for a lot of you, it's going to be one of the best ways to maybe push the wife out a little bit as you're being a little active in your business, maybe get some income, you know, coming in that gives you a little safety net that makes you just feel a little bit more confident in what you're doing every day. These are all great ways to implement turnkey in your strategy. So
I love it, man. I love it. Again, buddy, appreciate the time. And guys, again, thank you so much. I can't tell you how much I appreciate you spending some time with me here twice a week or whenever it is that you're listening to the podcast. Anything I can do to improve the quality of the show, deliver as much content as possible to you, let me know. Reach out. You can always go to flipempire.com, click on the Ask Alex. That'll come right to me. And yeah, I look forward to catching you on the next show. We'll take care.
That's all for this episode of the Flip Empire Show. But we have you covered with even more expertise and resources on our website. Text EMPIRE to 67076 or head over to flipempire.com to join the newsletter and gain free instant access to our video module training course called 5 Ways to Scale Your Real Estate Wholesaling Business to 6 Figures in 6 Months or Less. For more interviews, strategies, and insights for the smart real estate investor, we'll catch you next time here on the Flip Empire Show.